my child. You are my work of art. My hands have molded you from birth. But my heart aches. I see my children who are hurting. They're cast aside like worthless clay. I long to restore, heal, and make beautiful. Will you join me? My hands will guide yours. There is much to do and much joy to find. And don't be surprised when my children mold you. I work in their lives through you and in your life through them. Come, be like me to my little ones. Love them as I love them. Love them as I have loved you.
You know, every year we celebrate Orphan Sunday. But it's different for us. It's different for us at Crossbridge. I'm not saying from somebody else, from some other church comparison to them. I'm just saying that Orphan Sunday is just one of the Sundays. See, I really believe that God has especially given Crossbridge the task and the ministry of revealing the Father nature of his heart. I just think he's laid it on us. I'm not saying he hadn't done that to somebody else. I just know that that's a theme of this church. That's why we started a sponsorship program for orphans and impoverished kids in Reynosa. And we, together as a church, I mean, we're a church of about 1,100, okay? 1,200. And we started this sponsorship program. We have 800 kids that are sponsored in it, over 800. Between World Vision and African New Life and Compassion International, together our church sponsors probably over 1,000 kids. 1,000 kids. It's because he's laid on us this heart of the Father, and we want to express that to people. We do. You know, we work with the South Texas Orphan Alliance, a group that works with adoption and support and foster care here in the city. They work with a lot of churches, and they told us this week, and this is just for us, they told us this week that we have more adopted children in our church family than any other church in the city. I mean, that's us. That's us. That's our heart. We desire to see the fatherless find homes, the homeless to find families. That's what he's laid on our hearts to do. We have over 50 kids right now at Crossbridge that have been adopted or being fostered. And you know, today, instead of me preaching and getting some scripture, which of course is wonderful and I love to do, today though, I want you to hear the stories of some people that are in it. Because I know that the Lord may stir your heart in one way or another, whether it's actually to adopt or foster care or to be trained for respite care, which is the way that we help support and care for those who are fostering children. See, one of the consistent themes you're going to hear in the stories of the people today is that they couldn't do it alone. They cannot do it alone. They need us. They need us in life group. They need us on the weekend when they need a break. They need us in baby zone. They need us in kids zone. They need us in a blaze. They need us just loving and coming around them. It's one thing to bring a cute baby home from China or from, you know, the foster care system. It's another thing to make this major life-changing commitment to be that child's parent in their forever family. And they need a whole church. We need to be the church that has their arms open wide like that. Today, I want to start with Courtney Roberts. I want Courtney and Josh to come up and to share with you some of their experience with regard to a domestic adoption.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Kirk, for having us.
Oh, yeah. Hey, new tradition. We started this in the last service, okay? When someone who's not normally on stage, like I'm always on stage, when someone who's not normally on stage comes up, especially an introvert like Josh, he's not an introvert, I want us to whoop and holler and make him feel welcome. So one, two, three, Josh and Courtney Roberts.
Now, thank y'all so much for having us here, and we've got, I think, about 15 or 20 minutes to share our story.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
so, again, we thank you for having us. It's a privilege. We have two biological boys, 7 and 5, and then we also have an adopted daughter, and we are actually going through the process again to adopt again. And, you know, as we've been talking a lot in the church about how the Lord wants to include us, and my wife and I just love adoption. You're going to hear more about this later, but the Lord has given us a spirit of adoption. That's what it says in Romans. And so each of us, if we've received the Lord, have received that spirit. So a little bit about open adoption. What it basically means is we have a relationship with the birth parents, if they're willing, if they're able. So we go through an organization out of Houston that takes young women and, of course, is convincing them to choose life. And so these young women choose life. And so for that, we praise the Lord first and foremost. But it really is an opportunity for us to come alongside them and say, yes, we thank you. And we want to help not only raise your child, but we want to acknowledge that that's still your little girl too. You know, it's not about us taking on this, go, yay, Josh, yay, Courtney. It's about that child knowing who she's from, you know, who her heritage is, as well as being raised to know the love of Jesus. So our hope in open adoption is not only to minister to these children, but also to see the love of Jesus impact their family upstream. You know, we think about leaving a legacy. We want our little, our kids in general to leave a legacy back to their families. So with that, I'll leave it over to Courtney to kind of share a little bit more what that's like for us.
So that's our daughter, Adelaide. She's 2 and a half, and that is her birth dad. We see her birth parents a few times a year, and we communicate with them at least every 2 weeks. I make sure that we reach out, we send pictures, so they can feel connected to Adelaide, so they can know what's going on, and just to continue building that relationship with them. And for us, the word consistency is super important. We want to make sure that they know that they are not forgotten, that we see them, and also that Adelaide will always know who they are and as much about them as possible. And so being consistent is really important to us. We keep our word. If we say we're going to be somewhere or do something, we make sure and we do it because we want them to know that we can be trusted. Because all of this is building a foundation for what we hope one day that Adelaide is able to share the gospel with her birth parents and they can come to know him through her. And so that's how we view this relationship now. We encourage them when we can. We want them to know that we are for them, that we want what is best for them. And we intercede for them because we don't think that there's anybody else that probably is praying for them consistently. So we make sure to do that. We take it very seriously. And we view this a great privilege to have these people in our lives. The adoption process can be hard. It can be a struggle. The first year for us was really difficult. And the body of Christ came alongside us and loved us. And we could not have done it without them. And again, that word consistency, when I listed all the ways that they blessed us, consistency was really the biggest one. It was the people who made sure that we knew that we were not forgotten, because adoption can feel very isolating. The enemy likes to do that to make you think that you're alone and that the world has moved on and they've forgotten you. And so when you're still, you might be 7 months down the road and you're still struggling, or several years down the road, it was those people who made sure that we knew that they saw us when they stopped us and they asked, how are you? And they looked us in the eye and they really wanted to know. When I was at church and I had a baby strapped to my chest and a smile plastered on my face, it was the people who stopped and hugged me because they knew that there was more going on beneath the surface that made the biggest difference. And we could not have done it without those people, and especially within our life group. That was our safe place during that time. Like Josh said, we're doing this again, which it feels a little bit different going into it the second time because we know what we're getting ourselves into a little bit. But on the same regard, the Lord grew our faith more in that season than anything else in our lives. And so if he's going to ask us, say, do you want to do this again? I have this for you. We're going to say yes, because we know that regardless of the hard, he's there and he's going to bless our yes and he's going to provide. And so adoption comes from brokenness and pain. Regardless of when that child gets placed in an adoptive home, there is trauma and there is hurt. And adoptive families enter in and they live it out for life. And we also live it out with the birth families for life. And I would just encourage you as the body of Christ, because I believe that every member of the body has a role to play, to enter in with these families, to know them well enough to know how you can serve them and how you can love on them. Get into the mess with them and walk it out. And what is going to be a blessing is that you're going to be able to be a part of the redemption story as well. You're going to see the breaking off of generational curses. You're going to see this healing and salvation of entire families because you choose to say yes and to enter in with these people. Adoptive families lay down their lives. They count the cost and they pay the price, and God shows up every time. And y'all can be a part of that too.
Awesome. Oh, thank you guys for sharing. All right, I'm going to invite Jenny Ritchie up on stage. Come on, Jenny. Now, Jenny's going to share a little bit about their international adoption.
Hi, guys. I'm sure you've probably seen me up here before with my husband, Clay. We have two biological kids, Jack and Chandler, and then a little over 3 years ago, we adopted Nate from Bulgaria. There he is up there. As you can see, Nate does have Down syndrome. He was part of the special needs program in Bulgaria. And like special needs children in Eastern European countries, they are typically abandoned at birth and given up to go live in orphanages. It's a cultural norm. The parents are told that their lives will never amount to anything. So they spend the first 5 years of their lives in these orphanages where they are severely neglected. They spend upwards of 23 hours a day alone in their crib. And they are lucky if they get a meal or two. Usually it's just a bottle shoved at them. And so they are severely malnourished. When we brought Nate home at age 3, he was wearing size 12-month clothing. After those first 5 years, they're then sent to adult mental institutions, and usually within the first year, 90% of those children die. That's either due to physical or sexual abuse by the older residents or the older residents stealing their food, so they die of starvation. We've been told by people, you guys are so amazing, you saved Nate's life, and I guess technically that is true because he's 6 years old, and knowing what we know, he would probably be dead had we not adopted him. But the truth is that Nate is the one who saved us. He saved our lives, and I can share on that from James 1:27. We've all heard it. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their time of distress. But the part that I'm specifically drawn to is, and to keep oneself from being polluted by this world. And that's how Nate has saved us. Clay and I were caught up in living our lives, living the American dream. We wanted more. We wanted the big house and the steady raises every year, lots of money, and more. But God and his... He had bigger and better dreams for us, and in his infinite wisdom, he asked us to adopt a child, which was Nate. When we brought him home, it was chaos, to say the least. It's not at all what I thought I had signed up for. We had a child living with us who didn't want or know how to receive our love. And as time went on, Nate also received other diagnoses other than the Down syndrome. He's also been diagnosed with autism, ADHD, and seizure disorder. And that was a lot for me, a mom, to take on when, you know, we had two normal, healthy, biological children. And to have all of that, it was just too much. I became very angry. I was angry at God for asking us to do this. I was angry at Nate, at his birth parents, for putting us in this situation. And I quickly fell into a depression. I definitely would not have admitted that to anyone at the time. And then I turned to old coping mechanisms that had actually gotten me through the previous 35 years of my life. But you know what? No amount of going to Target and shopping or going to the gym and working out for hours or eating or not eating, using food as a coping mechanism, lashing out in anger, those aren't going to help you. There's only one thing, and that's God, that's going to help you when you're struggling. So I realized that the problem wasn't with Nate. The problem was with me. And with the encouragement of my amazing husband, I started going to counseling. He actually agreed to go with me to help me get past the fear of that. And then I also had a punch list card of frequent freedom prayer sessions. I'd go every 6 to 12 weeks. And then I also did a year of freedom prayer groups. And through that, those processes, the Lord asked me to strip myself of everything that was not of Him. I had to quit my job for a season. I had to quit coaching CrossFit. We had to sell our home and downsize because I really did put too much value in having the big, nice home. But the cool thing about God is when He asks you to give something up, He's very faithful, and He always, always replaces it with something much better. The Lord replaced my identity in the things of this world, and I found my identity in Christ. He showed me how to love like He loves, to serve like He serves, and to have compassion and grace for others, and not just Nate, but for everyone. I see the whole world through a different lens, and it's His lens. And now I can say that I love Nate as my own child, and I couldn't say that when we brought him home. I didn't like him, and now he's my little guy, and I love him as my own. So through all of this, the Lord has shown me how to be more like Him, and and I'm now the person that He's intended me to be. My shirt here says, "Worth it all," and this is from Philippians 3:8. I'm just going to read it. "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." So if you feel like the Lord is putting adoption on your heart, don't let fear stand in the way. If you're obedient and say yes, just know that it's probably not going to look like what you think it is. But God's good, and if He asks you to do something, He's going to see you through it, and He'll meet you where you are, and it will always be worth it.
Thanks, Jenny. You know, I know Jenny was talking about adoption, but you hear that transparency? I mean, that just moves me. And you know, you may not need to hear anything about adoption today. Maybe you just needed to see a mom who is open and vulnerable, talking about how she copes with stress and the path she took and coming back to going, "Jesus, you're the only answer for me." Maybe you needed to hear a mom who says, "Yeah, I've been to Freedom Prayer." You know you have a pastor that goes to Freedom Prayer, but you've got just one of you, you know? And maybe that's what you need to hear today, is just transparency and just letting down a wall. Maybe that's the next step that God has for you. I'm going to invite Rebecca and Josh up on stage. The lights, you already saw them dedicate their two sweet kids and gave them high fives. Let's hear it for them. Tell us about your journey in foster care, guys.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is Rebecca, my wife. Let's see. Our lives changed forever a couple years ago when we got a call from our foster agency asking us if we could do emergency placement for two siblings, 5 and 3. I tried to reach Rebecca, but she was seeing patients at work. So with an anxious and joyful heart, I gave a big resounding yes. A few hours later, we became instant parents. They were brought over to our house, and Andrew was, he found a jump rope and was pretending it was a fishing pole and was catching big fish, and Ellie J was creating some masterpieces on our living room table as we filled out our foster paperwork. This was actually their fourth placement in just that year, but thank God that was their last. Because then, in just a few months ago, June 23rd, we became a forever family. And our kids are amazing, and we can't imagine life without them.
As we began to think about what we should share today, we thought about all the aha moments we've had from the profound things that our kids have said over the past couple of years. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to ask our son what he thinks we should tell people that might be considering fostering or adopting. And he was really excited to get to participate. And he said the following.
Grown-ups need to adopt kids because they might be in a place where they're getting beat up. Grown-ups should go adopt kids because the grown-ups will be happy, and so will the kids. And remember to be gentle with your kids because they might have come from a place where they were hurt really bad before. And remember to love your kids so they won't get taken away.
Y'all, that sums it up. There's never going to be the perfect time to do this. It's always going to be scary. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It is so worth it. It is worth turning your life upside down. And in the end, it's not just for the kids. You'll be transformed through it all as well. Our son, when he was 5, one day he said to me, "Mommy, why didn't God make enough mommies and daddies for all of the kids in the world?" And I said to him, "Sweetie, he did make enough mommies and daddies. It's just that not all of them are hearing his calling yet." If you feel like God is leading you in that direction, don't let fear or anything else get in your way. There's children waiting for you today. And if you feel like this is 10 years off in the future, just start praying now about this. God's timing is not like our timing, and my plan was not this exact timeline at all. And if you want to hear more about that, I'll tell you about it later. But just start praying now. Our daughter's favorite question to me, she asks me all the time, "Mommy, did you and Daddy pray for me before you got me?" And she knows the answer. And I tell her, "Yes, sweetie, Daddy and I prayed for you long before we ever knew who you were. We didn't know anything about you, but we knew that God had children for us one day that were going to need a new mommy and daddy. So we prayed." Maybe you don't feel led to foster or adopt, but you feel a burden to help people that are. That's great. That's awesome. We need it. It takes the whole body of Christ to do this. On the night our children arrived, a friend dropped off a gift at our front door with jammies and bath supplies because kids often arrive at your home with just the clothes on their back. Another friend sewed a taggy blanket for our daughter. A couple of other families helped paint our son's room. A couple other families dropped off meals when times were chaotic. Two couples and my parents got background checks so that they could babysit for us if needed. That's required in foster care. And my amazing mother-in-law went through all of the classes, CPR certification, TB skin testing, FBI checks, background checks, so that she could spend the night with our kids if needed. Thank you, Nancy. Because in the foster world, this is called respite, and not just anybody, even your own family, they can't stay with your kids if needed. All of this stuff adds up. Some of the things I listed were small, and some were really big. But in the end, it all adds up, and when we're feeling weary, it makes us feel strong. Just like in Exodus chapter 17, when Moses was leading the Israelites in battle against the Amalekites, he needed to raise the staff above his head. And as long as he did, God was winning the battle for him. But he was growing weary, He wasn't able to keep it above his head. And so Aaron and Hur, they realized this, and they got a stone for him to sit on. And then they stood on either side of him, and they raised his arms for him so that God would continue to fight the battle. Brothers and sisters, we need you to come alongside the foster and adoptive moms and dads. We need you to raise up our arms when we feel weak. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms that want to claim our children. But we know that the victory is already won in Christ. We know he has an amazing redemptive plan amidst all of this pain and trauma in their lives. We just need you to help us put on the armor of God and stand strong while we go through this journey together.
Thank you, guys. You know, listen, if you're a first-time guest, I know you might thought, oh, we're going to go hear the pastor talk. Listen, this is way better than anything I'd have given you. I'm telling you, isn't this the kind of church you want to be a part of? To me, I just love it. I'll preach another Sunday. Come on, Laura. I want Laura. There's Laura Huey. Let's hear it for Laura. I'm going to let Laura wrap us up because Laura, not only she and her husband, John, John's on staff with us. Laura's on staff in the discipleship school we lead. We have here. They've also adopted three children themselves, and they head up the our foster adopt ministry here at Crossbridge. So you can take it home, Laura.
Okay. Good morning, you guys. It is a huge privilege to be here this morning before you guys as we give voice to the orphans of the world. As I've been praying for this weekend, I've been humbled and at times really overwhelmed that I get to be a part of this church and have such amazing friends that have walked this out alongside of us, as well as all of you that have walked alongside of us. You know, I just want to reiterate what Kirk said earlier, that what God is doing among us in the area of foster care and adoption is really unique here in our body, and it's so beautiful. Every year, more of you open up your homes and your hearts to children that are complete strangers, and you bravely love them with the love of God. And others of you wrap around those families, and you pray for them, and you support them, and it's really just a beautiful picture. And every year, we're getting better and better and better at this. And Orphan Sunday has become the perfect time each year to reestablish this vision, to articulate again our mission to remember the orphan and to plead the cause of the fatherless. The fields of the fatherless is just one of the harvest fields that God has called us to as a church, and it's a harvest field that is always in need of laborers. In a sense, adoption ministry is just like any other mission we do here at Crossbridge. Some will pray, some will give, some will go. We all aren't going to do the same things, but we are all invited to do something. There are a few of you that have been sitting here this morning, and you know that the Lord is beckoning you to open up your heart and your home to a child or children. And my advice to you is just to simply obey, say yes, and allow him to lead you in that. And there's a host of adoptive moms and dads here that want to hold your hands on that journey. And we're available to do that. But most of us, that's not what God is asking you to do. But he does have a piece for you to play. He's still inviting you into the field of the fatherless. And he has significant works for you that are going to bring you great joy and bring him great glory. For every family that God leads to take in a child, he's raising up several other families to be that support network that is so desperately needed for that family. Our adoptive families are a sort of long-term missionary, very long-term. They need our support for the long haul. Our foster families are missionaries here in our community. They are willingly choosing to step into great darkness and great heartache. They're laying down their lives and they're laying down their hearts. And, you know, they're doing this for the sake of Christ. And the potential of experiencing deep heartbreak is an absolute reality. So what does missionaries in this context, a context like this, need? They need support. They need encouragement. They need help. And they need our assistance. We have to continue to support these missionaries. So how do we do this? How do we support them so that they can successfully minister to the ones that the Lord has called them to? So first, we support them by viewing their mission as our mission. We here at Crossbridge are in this together. Our fostering and adopting families do not labor in isolation. We all get to be a part of what God is doing here. Some of our families have been struggling in isolation for far too long, and if they were missionaries on a traditional mission field, we would have brought them home to offer them rest and refreshment a long time ago. But our adoptive families can't come off the field. So it's essential for us as the body of Christ to learn how to come alongside of them when they need it the most and walk with them and give them the prayer and the support that they need. So as you came in, one of the ways we're going to do this is we're going to strengthen our care community. We're going to get better at this, you guys. So when you came in, there's a flyer on your chair or the chair next to you. I want you to get that out. And on the back, there's some nice graphics that's going to help you understand what I mean when I say care community. So in the graphic that has the family, and they're encircled. So this represents our mission families, our adoptive families. They're in the middle here. And around them are a number of people that wrap around this family so that they can be successful. There's a number of different ways that you can do this. So a few of them are listed there for you. So one of those ways might be to contribute financially. So Matt and Brittany and Courtney and Josh, they are currently pursuing adoptions with that carry with them substantial financial burdens in the tens of thousands of dollars. These are just fees that go along with just adopting. God is going to provide for those children that he has called those families to. He's going to do that. He's going to be faithful. And there's a really good chance that he's going to use some of us to do that. That might be the piece that the Lord calls you to this morning. As you can see in the picture, there's lots of other things that that we can do to support these families. So, and don't underestimate the power of an encouraging word or a sincere prayer or just an understanding hug. These things are vital. So below that graphic, I want to call your attention to the paragraph that has the Facebook icon next to it. So we've recently launched this Facebook page where our adoptive and foster families can communicate their needs to the rest of the Crossbridge body. So if you're on Facebook, I want you to become a part of this care community. So like the page and then come back often and check it. And you'll see that our families are going to get really good at posting their immediate needs, whether they're prayer needs or just an actual something tangible that they're needing. So for instance, this past week, we had a foster family. They received their very first placement this week, a 10-month-old little boy, and he is absolutely gorgeous. And already, this family is being flooded with support. I mean, it's been really neat to watch. I mean, you want to be a part of this, okay? We have a care calendar for them, meal calendar. We need to fill it up. We need to fill up that meal calendar. So it's so easy. Just like this, check on it, and if it's something that you can do, let's do it. Another way that we're going to use this Facebook page is to let you post services or skills that you have that the Lord leads you to make available to foster adopt families. So maybe you have a lawn service and you feel like, hey, I can adopt my services once a month to a family in need. You can post that in there. And we can capture those, and what we're going to do is put them in the picture gallery so that they can be available for families. So another example might be you might just love baking and making birthday cakes, and that's an amazing gift. Don't underestimate how beautiful and powerful of a blessing that can be to a child in foster care who has never had a birthday cake, much less a gorgeous one that God has gifted you to make. You could let us know that you have that and you want to make it available to others. So the number of ways that you can utilize this are infinite. So as the Lord leads you, just post them on there and we'll capture that information. So there's no piece of support or encouragement or prayer that's insignificant. We need everyone doing whatever piece God gives you to do. Nothing's too small. Your two-word encouragement scribbled on a sticky note may be exactly what we need. So don't underestimate that piece. Just commit to do it faithfully. So as a church on mission, fostering and adopting is a significant part of what God has called us to here at Crossbridge. And it's for all of us. It's not just for a select few. The Spirit of God in you loves adoption, and he loves it best when it's successful and when it's done in the context of the safety of the local church. And he really loves it when these adoptive families can be surrounded by this support. It takes all of us. If you're interested in finding out more about fostering or adopting in general, or becoming a CASA, which is a court-appointed special advocate, which is somebody that stands on behalf of a child in foster care in all their like judicial proceedings. That's a huge way to walk alongside of a child and be a consistent person in that child's life. As you heard, like the lights say, their children had four different placements. Sometimes kids like that have a CASA that walks through every placement with them. That's a vital role. Audrey's going to be at the connection desk after the service, and she has information to hand out to you if that interests you. As you think about the fields of the fatherless and prayerfully consider where specifically God might be inviting you to join in this, I'd like you to consider the why of adoption. Why do we foster? Why do we adopt? Why do we support adoption? Why do we make it our goal to cultivate a culture of adoption here at Crossbridge? What is that greater reality that all of this is pointing to? So, you know, God could have stopped at justification. He could have just made us right with him as the judge of the universe. He could have done that, right? That'd be okay. It's his, in his wisdom, he can do what he wants, right? He could have stopped at atonement and just said, you know, hey, we need to solve the issue of sin. So we're just going to solve the issue of sin, and that would be great. He could have just decided, you know, I'm going to create this heavenly shelter for these people so that when they die, they'll go to this perfect place where they're, you know, they'll overcome death, hell, and the grave. You know, just have this perfect place for them somewhere. He could have done any of those things, you guys, but he didn't. His love, his just completely incomprehensible love of Father God continued to compel him to adoption. The message of the gospel is not complete until we see at the heart of it a father desperately longing and desiring for sons and daughters. God planned on adoption since before creation. As John Piper says, adoption is greater than the universe. God's plan wasn't to save you from your sin so you could enjoy the perfections of a place called heaven someday. God's plan was to adopt you and bring you home to himself. This is the gospel. Hear me. The goal of the gospel was your adoption. Jesus died so that the Father could adopt you and bring you home. Jesus paid the price of your adoption. Yeah, God could have stopped short of adoption, but he didn't, and neither should we. Together, let's be a church that cultivates this culture of adoption, because when we do, we are reflecting his heart to a dark and desperate world. When we do, we become a sign and a wonder to our city and to our community, giving credibility to the gospel that we are proclaiming, that there is a Father, and he wants to bring them home. His heart is at the center. He's the greater reality that all of this is pointing to. And when we demonstrate as a church that there is still room at our tables for these children that the world has cast aside, we are demonstrating to the lost that there is still room at his table for them. And we as the church stand ready to invite them home and welcome them home. That's our role. So maybe this is you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never realized how personal the gospel is to the heart of the Father. You might not even realize that he is desperately longing to bring you home. And I feel like we would be remiss if we spend a whole Sunday morning together talking about adoption and we don't address the fact that maybe, you're ready to take that seat at his table. So if that's you, and you're just like, yes, that's what I want, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray that. So if y'all would just join with me, and let's just pray. Father God, thank you for accomplishing it all. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins so that the price of adoption could be paid in full. With all my heart, I accept the finished work of the cross. And by faith, I receive the free gift of salvation and step into my new life as your child, bearing your name. Thank you that in Christ, There has always been room enough at your table for me. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, later we're going to pass the baskets. There's response cards in there. We'd love for you to just let us know and put them in the wooden box on your way out. You know, we are passionate about adoption at this church because we're passionate about the gospel of Jesus, and we're passionate about you knowing that he has a place for you to call home.
So. All right, let's hear it for Laura. Thank you. One last thing we're going to do, and it doesn't involve people talking, but I just want you to introduce some people to you, and I'm going to tell you why they're coming. And when I call your name, come on down front. Brandy and Jeff Adams, come on down here. Sarah Matthews and Jean, come on down. The Buchers, come on down. Kelly and Kevin, Elsa and Charles. Some of these guys were here the first service. The Azels, Courtney and Josh Roberts, you guys. And Brittany and Matt Erbaugh are still here. Okay, we got a few others. Tammy McKean, are you here, Tammy? Can't remember if you were not here right now. Okay. Oh, she is here. Oh, there she is. She's back there. Come on. Let her out. Andy and Diane Meyer, where are you guys? They were here for... Oh, there you are. Just no Andy today. Okay. I'll have a conversation with him later about that. And Sarah and Nick Wood, and Brandon and Tyler Fuller. Good. Here's the reason I asked these folks to come down. They have all either this year adopted a child this year, or they've completed their foster training this year. There's a licensing, or they've received a foster child into their family. And we want to encourage and support and pray for these people, but we want to do more than that, okay? And one of the things that we decided to do as a church family is because the expenses primarily of adoption are huge, but then also foster care takes money as well, we're going to give every one of the families that has adopted a child $1,000. That's what our church family is doing today. And we're going to give... each family who's adopting, fostering a child or has completed their foster training, $500 today. It's just we're going to, when you give in our, this is why I have no trouble talking about money at Crossbridge. Because our pastors, most of them work out of their homes. Most of all of our people work out of their homes to keep our costs low. So we can do stuff like this that matters, okay? They got their checks earlier this in the first service, and there was no way of getting them back from them. So I think the money's already spent, isn't that right, Josh? It's already gone. But we are going to do this. We're going to extend that one more time, that hand of blessing over them as we just say, we're for you. We're for you. So Jesus, we do. We just thank you, Lord, as I just lay a hand on each one. We just thank you, God, for the calling and their courage, their bravery, God. Their willingness to say, we trust you with our finances. We trust you with our time, with the vision of our lives that we thought it was going to be, Lord. We surrender it to you because we believe you have something better for us, Jesus. And so, Lord, even though things may be hard, we know that your confidence, your strength is going to fill them up. There, sweet Ellie J, good to see you. And Lord, we just thank you and pray the increase of power and anointing and delight. Lord, let them see the smile of the Father over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.